Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Welcome back to the Dr. Supercoach podcast. You're on once again with Chizo. Dr. Supercoach, powered once again by our lovely partners at Code Sports. With me tonight to talk all things Supercoach, the round 18 recap, I have Pistol, my friend. It's great to see your voice against champion. How was your week? Did you cop any carnage? Did you throw your phone off a bridge into a river like I did because I copped my first donut in 5 years? Enlighten me as to how your weekend was.
I can't remember there being a round where there was so much carnage and it wasn't like in the buys. It was just madness. Yeah. It was one thing after the other. But the best part of the whole thing was just how carnage happened after teams were announced, like on the Thursday. And, you know, some players were locked in from the Thursday night game. And then carnage kept happening throughout the weekend. And I was like, this is just like going from bad to worse to even worse. And there's nothing we can do about it because teams are locked in. And there's like, we may have used our last trade already on the previous day. I was rooting for it. I was like getting caught up in the hype and I didn't even care that I was like, yeah, I'm going to get a donut because Marek was out. And I'm like, oh, well, it doesn't even matter. I'm just going to enjoy it. And then he was a late in and it worked. And then I got injuries. Wardlaw, that's been great cover for my – covering Dunkley with a late out and now a hammy halftime. Fantastic move there. But kind of hilarious. I didn't cop a donut. I was middling 2,347 with, you know, Sarong, Neil and – Darcy Cameron all on the bench. And as my team has been for the whole year, I just am the benchmark of rank 3,000 and I moved up 88 spots to 2,900. So I yet to really move at all for the entire season. I'm still there, 2,900. That's just my rank. If you ever need to ask, that will be it for the whole season. We don't even need to ask me again now.
So this is what I'm thinking. I don't know if you've ever done a fun run, but they have these designated people that run at particular times. So, like, if you want to run, like, a 1 hour 10 kilometer, they just run – they're paces. They perfectly run at 6 minute kilometers. So if you just run with them, you'll run an hour. I feel like that's what you are for the 3,000 rank. People are just kind of, like, watching your moves and be like, oh, Pistol does this, so I'll do that, and that's going to get me in the top 3,000 for the year. You're like the pacer for the 3K.
Yeah, it's depressing, but it is what it is this year. It's just been one mess after the other, but – yes, I like how you said, have I ever done a fun run? Because that would imply that I've left my house before, which we all know the answer to that one.
Yeah, I do. this week for me, I used my final trade and I'm going to run you through some carnage in just a moment. I had a 23-13, which saw me fall from 1,200 to 1,454. But I'm going to run you through the carnage, Pistol.
Go for it.
Starting in defense, I had a Jake Lloyd concussion.
Yep.
And we talked about this the other day. I brought in Jake Lloyd for Jack Zeeble, which I think technically I've still made points on, but I don't really feel as like I've done any good with that trade. He was covered by Mitchell, who didn't play. Yep. And so D8, who was Chesser, came on the field and got me 29. So technically not a donut. In the midfield, I had Green and I had Sarong. And so they were both out. And then in the forward line, I had Cameron and I had Dunkley. I had five premiums out. And I think I've done pretty well in terms of like my like keeping cover. I've got Mitchell, I've got Chesser, I've got Ashcroft, I've got Marek. So I've got like at least four people playing, right? And I've still got Roberts who might, like, he had 30 and 10 tackles or something the weekend. So he's probably going to get another game at some point, right? I could potentially have five bench players. And I still got my first donut in 5 years. Because Mitchell got managed.
Wasn't even the like, buy
round. I brought in Dewa from Eagle so I could use Mitchell as my cover for forward and defense. And then he wasn't there. And I was staring down the barrel of two donuts until Marek was a late in. And then not only that, I got my hopes up because I saw the tagline, Hawks with late change. And I opened up the tweet to see what it was in Slack and news. It was like, Max Ramden replaced by some other random player. And I was like, no!
Oh, the Hawks.
Where is Seamus Mitchell? Yeah, yeah. Of all weeks for a late in, please! Yeah, so...
So Ramsden was a late out.
Five premiums in a week, bro.
Was a late out because he got hit in the head with a football and suffered concussion. which is unlucky. So Meek was in. But yeah, they kept mentioning
please
him on the broadcast,
tell me,
which was pretty
please
funny.
Tell me, in the brackets, please tell me in the, you know, like, you know, it's like omitted or managed or injured. Please tell me it just has Falcon as the reason in brackets.
I think
I think that's appropriate.
Yeah, I mean, pretty unique mate, way to miss the game.
I actually had one trade left that I was going to hold for the rest of the year. And then staring down the barrel of three donuts last week, I had to trade Green because he was the guy that's like out for the longest period of time. And I swung some DPP, brought Dacos into my midfield and got Luke Ryan. Finally, instead, like another sliding doors moment. So I went to get, I was choosing between Lloyd and Luke Ryan like a month ago and totally messed that one up. But, you know, what do you
think? So your options were Luke Ryan versus...
And Jake Lloyd.
Darcy Parrish.
There were no others. Oh, yeah, this week I turned down Darcy Parrish for Luke Ryan because...
We don't need an explanation. I made the trade we just need on to like, take away your Darcy
on like a
Parrish,
Thursday.
You know, best friend club card. Hand it over.
Look, the reason I did it is because I don't want to be hurt again by him being injured because I feel like I would be handing in my card if I used up all my trades just to bring him back in for him to get injured and hurt me again.
Yeah.
And look, I don't know if I could cope with that.
Kind of like so, JB and Butters. I know we traded in Butters this week.
Yes.
Potentially not gone super, super well. We'll see how Butters pulls up. But yeah, it's a prime example right there for you. Very unfortunate.
Wait, have we ever discussed this? Parrish is mine. Butters, it used to be Houston, but it's Butters now for JB. Who's yours?
Oh, I think we know. I'm very banned on the podcast.
Oh, that's right. It's Tom Rockliffe. No,
no,
I got it. I figured it out.
Not Tom, but you appreciate it.
Hey, we got some Cancer Council donations that we want to go through here in just a moment. I'll let you
some
pull,
donuts.
I'll let
here,
you pull
yeah.
those up, but some donuts. But I do also want to say, friend of the pod, Luke Hall, had his 40th. During the week, and we got a donation from Anthony Sheehy. I'm not JB. I don't have to donate if I get it wrong. I hope, like, look, ask Anthony if he's forwarded the message because I sent you a lovely little video message to say happy birthday. I didn't hear anything back. I was like, I don't know if I've been stood up. Maybe it's gone to the spam folder.
I don't know if that person exists. I'm not sure which one
they
your
don't
personalities
it, so.
Is. This is going where this is going, but I'll just read off the
it's
cancer
the personality that yells page. In the background.
How about yeah. I just go through them? So we're going to jump back from last week as well. So there are quite a few. So if you don't want to listen, you can skip forward, but I'd recommend listening to support those that have donated. To JB, he says, you win this round, Aaron Dolacqua. Apologies for miscommunication, my friend. So his first incorrect name donation of the year. To Pistol, he says, two jam field cakes for me for round 15 buys. A reminder to everyone, it's never too late to donate for past donuts. Big fan of JB and Chizo, which I only said because you guys were meant to be podcasting and then you pulled out on me. So I take that back. Not a big fan of either of you at the moment. Jordan donates. He says, made a bet with JV in cricket chat that Mitch Marsh wouldn't score 50 and he was the only Aussie that did. Thank you very much, Jordan and JV.
Wait, does that mean he donated twice?
I think it's a different JV.
Has he made 50 twice?
Pretty sure it's a different. Okay. I mean, I could be wrong. More credit to JV. From anyone but Collingwood for premiers, which I've already... not super happy with that title, but belated donating for Dumb Things 2022 on behalf of my partner, Ty. In lieu of a birthday card, thought I'd make a donation in memory of your mum, which is very sweet. Donating for Dumb Things, having to hand over a league trophy to a coach who can't list all the AFL teams after you teach your partner to play Supercoach and she obliterates you with the Angus Brayshaw pod mid-22 assist. Note, obliterate, fairly bold word choice by the reigning premier. Hun, can you bring me a jacket? It's ice cold at the top again this year. Before I start having to make oxygen choices, happy birthday and thanks for taking the time to teach me. Isn't that sweet, Chizo? Back-to-back premiers on the cards, it sounds like.
Yeah, and it's a solid roast as well.
Huge. It's so many roasts in one message. Thank you very much for your support. Much appreciated. This was your... charity of choice. To Gunner, he says, copped a donut with Wardlaw out, made the call to use the Fife donut in the mids, not the forwards, so I couldn't swing. Marek stuck as EE, have donated for the donut with amount set by the poetry of the points lost. The amount set. But thank you very much for a generous donation. Gibbo says, thank you, Ryan and Walsh, for winning my matchup in the cup and leagues. Big donation, big scores. Thanks, Gibbo. To Chizo, do you want to explain what happened for this donating for Dumb Things? Round 16?
I mean,
you think you can avoid it because you didn't podcast, but I know the truth.
I really don't want to have to, but I have explained it a number of times that I followed JB's captaincy advice and he was so sure that Dunks was going to be the captain. The captain of choice that week, and I just straight captained him on the Thursday or Friday night, whichever one it was. And so donating for Dumb Things, I'm owning up to my mistake. That's one thing I'm very proud of, is I try to own up to my mistakes as opposed to blame other people, because they become so frequent
and
I'm running out of people to blame.
And you managed to outscore most people who took the lead captaincy anyway, because Dunkley outscored him in three quarters.
It was elite. It was an elite move. Only top teners will understand it.
Thank you for your donation, Chizo. Thanks to Craig CD Boom, who says, the tasty Dunkley donut, how I love to still be able to win five or six league matches whilst I consumed it. Just congrats to you. That's huge. Jordan Venables has donated $1 for every run Bison scored under 50 in the second innings. Lightning didn't strike twice this time. Sounds like another cricket bet. I don't know cricket at all, but I appreciate
it. Yes, yeah. No, you're right. You're right. Yep.
Appreciate the donation. Ben, aka Therapist, says two donations. Dumb Things, using Optimizer in a rush before the bounce, which made the English VC, well, that's good, then not checking the captain, Bont, oh, that's bad, who was playing in the same game. Donut, no cover for
Seamus Mitchell. I'm glad he pointed that out, actually.
Yes. Donut, no cover for Seamus Mitchell. That is unfortunate. And Butler with the last big donation here. He says, yum, yum, a donut when Green went out on top of DCAM and Dunks. Thank you to everyone for those 2 weeks of donations. Absolute flying for the Cancer Council. That's incredible work. Really appreciative. It's still not too late to donate if you did have donuts for this week, community. We'd really appreciate it.
From 2022, apparently.
It's never too late. And appreciate
that's right.
That. If you got donuts in 2022, 2021 even, 2020 COVID. If you got donuts then, please don't forget and donate. All right. Thanks for sticking with me through that, Chizo. It was a lot.
No worries, mate. Last bit of housekeeping to get through is we're down to the last 64 excellent and just top-notch supreme coaches in the Dr. Supercoach Cup this year. Denny Marry Me Spargo, who's 25th overall, wiped the floor with JB this week, so he's taking home a prize. And Mark, captain, coach of Flag Dons, beat Dilza Allgorn Pete Tong, who was last year's champion. So they'll both be taking prizes home. Pistol, just you and me left as the potential prize winning matchups to come out this week. We've already been getting some banter in the cup chat of people that are looking to take us down.
I kind of feel guilty because I did not deserve to win last week, but I will very much appreciate that Sicily only managed to score 50. He needed a 65 for me to lose, and he scored 58. Oh. So I'll take it, and apologies to my opponent, Full Cheese. Jared, you were probably the better coach on the day, and it just didn't work out. But
next round we go. Don't be this. None of this humble. Nah, you're going to get roasted this week.
All right, I probably will because my team is very average.
Pistol, we got a little bit of Supercoach chat to talk about as we get towards the end of this year, and things are becoming very, very laser focused on the Supercoach topics. Obviously, we talked about some carnage that happened last week, but we've got some more coming. We've had Butters potentially with a groin or an adductor injury this week, who's going for scans. They're hopeful that he'll play this weekend, but there is the potential that he might be out for a little bit of time. Darcy's had the ankle injury. They expect him to at least miss this week, and they're going to be looking to see if he'll be playing the following week. So there's a few injuries in addition to Darcy Cameron, where we didn't really get definitive he's going to be back. There was like, look, we're hoping he's going to be back. Green was listed as 3 weeks, but you know what hamstrings are like. The 3 weeks is on the good end.
Yep.
So we're looking for more positive talk this week. Dunkley is a calf, which again, they've been like, we expect him to be up for next week, but you know, it wasn't super, super definitive for me. It looks like that this isn't going to be another week where we could be faced with a bunch of choices of these premiums, and with only the last few remaining trades left, are we looking to continue holding these guys? Are there any of these names that you sort of have a personal opinion on? Are you holding all? Is there any that stand out for you?
Yeah, I think the big one that's like flashing red lights is Tom Green. He wasn't in particularly great form before for the whole season. I mean, honestly, people were trading him out at the bye because he's in such poor form. He did put in two big scores, 120 pluses, but it's not like incredibly amazing. And a poor score right before I got injured as well. I think if you have a trade left, knowing he's going to be out for at least two more weeks, and with these hammies, just like Clayton Oliver, you never really know how long it's going to take. I think he's probably the guy to go. If you do have cover for him, like premium cover, we're talking, I don't know, Jack Steele, if you have him at M9, I think you could probably manage to hold for 2 weeks if you're that way inclined and if you have more than one trade. But also, I think if you are making a trade to get out a guy, out of everyone that you mentioned, I think he's the top of my list there. Chizo, how do you feel about that?
No, I agree. I think we need to find more information when it comes to Butters and Darcy as the weeks go on, because an ankle on a big guy like Darcy can be a really big issue, as well as an adductor on someone. So a particular impact player like Butters. So there is absolute potential that those guys could turn into 2+ weeks. I think it's going to be really simple for me at this stage of the year. If you've got 1 weekers, I think I'm holding. Yeah. And then 2 weekers and more. I think anything more than 2 weekers, like if they came out and said that Darcy was a 3-week injury, I think that's obvious. Ruck is a lot more difficult.
Yeah, for sure.
Because a lot of our cover is Darcy Cameron this week, so we could have our hand forced if he's not back from that back niggle. But I think with the limited amount of rounds left, where we got six weeks, 19 to 24,
yep.
I think it's going to be really difficult in terms of total points for any of those guys to match the potential points made by having another week. There's just not enough weeks to make up, I'd say, 100 points that whoever you bring in this week that is going to be playing. So depending on trades, depending on matchup, depending on how you're playing, if you're playing purely for rank, obviously the total points are going to be favored by making that trade. If you're playing for league, you can definitely sort of sit on your hands. All of those names could very easily be 1 week, I mean, other than Green. And I think personally I'm going to be holding a lot of them.
Yep.
But as we say every week, it's going to be very, very team dependent. The good thing for me is that I have no trades remaining, Pistol. I don't know what's happening with you.
I've got none,
which
now
means
too.
I don't even have to think about it. I've got, you know when we talk about great like sleep at night factor with some of these players, all you've got to do is run out of trades. You've got great sleep at night factor because there's nothing you can do to change it anyway.
Absolutely. I feel
the lesson
fantastic.
Here is burn all your trades on useless people.
that's been my strategy the whole season, which is showing. But I think that's pretty much spot on. It's just unfortunate that so many people's cover in Sheldrick, Wardlaw, Fife, all these guys have been injured. So a lot of people are forced into making a trade this week. You know, Green is kind of an awkward price, 550K. Using DPP kind of opens up.
You'll find someone for that price, though.
Well, I mean, let's talk about options within, I don't know, let's say you only...
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Had one guy that's under his price and one guy that's maybe just more than his price or something like that. I think across any line, because using DPP should be able to afford anybody you like. I mean, LDU is nearly identical price, but is he still too risky with the injury history?
No, not touching him.
For the injury
not happening with that injury history. He had a niggle during the week. What do you mean?
He's so
he had a niggle at training.
Yeah, it's worrying, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I'm not going near him. There's got to be, what's Parrish? Parrish has got to be pretty close.
Parrish is right. He's about in that frame, I think, for sure. Are you saying that
might,
for
it
a
might
reason?
Be a bit more expensive.
Just for...
Oh, as, like we're talking about, he's 590. That's slightly too expensive probably for the bracket you've given me of 450.
Yeah.
You could be using DPP to get Doherty. I think he's an okay 105 type player, which is what Green is realistically
doing. That's what I did last week.
Look,
that was my trade.
Well, you should have waited a week so I could take credit for it. Kelly at 540, I think, is also pretty good. He's going to be a 105.
Injury? Tim Kelly or Josh Kelly?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Which one did I say?
I don't know. You just said Kelly, so it could have been, I don't know who you're talking about.
Oh, Josh Kelly. Yeah, Josh Kelly. Particularly because they're relatively similarly priced as well. I had some DMs during the week asking about Shea Bolton, and I just think that he's actually got a really good run home. But I just feel, or he did, including last week, but I just feel like that 100 average or 105 average he's had over the last like 4 or 5 rounds, like he's the type of player that make a 105 average out of like 160s and then 60s.
Yeah.
If that makes it, and combining those sorts of scores. I've still got that inkling that Walsh is going to be okay. Cripps proved me wrong. I talked someone out of Cripps on the weekend.
Still pretty average.
And he, yeah, it was like he had a good game though.
He's fine.
I thought he was pretty influential.
Yeah,
he's fine. Took Miller's going to be fine, but I'm just hoping he plays a little bit more forward. Keep bringing that price down for next year.
I mean, look, you've got Brayshaw in that bracket, who I think is probably my main. Yeah, it's almost the same price, so probably looking there. I'm looking at Doherty. It's my big two. You could go Caleb Daniel, but he's not in the greatest of form at the moment, which is a mixture of Roll and Fisher.
Nah. It was purple patch.
I would stay away.
Jack Sinclair, nah.
Yeah, those guys are fine.
I know. They're fine, they're fine, I guess. They're not shooting the lights out. People are going to get sucked into Day because of his recent history.
I don't think people are trading in Day anymore. They're all scarred. They're all, like, completely terrified. No,
we had a top 100 coach message me during the week and they brought in Day and someone else.
Well, they're geniuses.
So they could get a better midfielder. Because the midfielder they were choosing between was like 490K. And he was – well, actually, no, he was the person I talked out of Crips, goddammit. But no, but he brought in.
He did a better move instead.
Day,
fantastic.
No. He brought in Day and someone else instead of Cripps and Doherty. Never mind. I think for that 550 sort of price range, you've got a whole bunch of guys that are going to be between that 100 to 105 mark. I don't think there's a clear underpriced player that can really go 120 plus, unless you're looking at Took to really bounce back. You know, like if you really think that he can continue, or he can get back to how he was at the start of the season. If you believe in that, then he's certainly underpriced at 520K. You could take that as a risk.
Yeah, I think the best player in the whole lot here is Sarong at 567. If you don't own Sarong, he's back in. He's just, I think, clearly the best actual player in Supercoach and NFL in this price bracket, pretty much, as a midfielder, I should say. But he's just a standard option for me if you can. If you want to go really, really cheap, maybe you have multiple trades. Don't know if you do, but Jake Lloyd should be back and he's going to be 468K, which is really cheap for somebody that can put out 95s. And what about the incredible recent form of Sam Flanders at the moment? He's just going absolutely massive. He's 427K.
This is literally what he's been doing in the VFL all year, and it's taken until they've sacked the coach,
even before,
to get him into the side and playing in a decent role.
Yeah, it's pretty insane.
Like He has literally been a total cut above in the VFL all year, averaging like 35 touches and a goal a game. And when until the last few weeks, he's had CBAs to start the year of 14, 3, and 10. Then he's gone 43, 19, 43, 50.
That's the role we wanted in the preseason.
This is the role that we wanted. This is so infuriating. And now they're going to completely ruin him as a selection for next year when we're like, oh, hell yeah, never mind. I wouldn't personally be going Flanders. Like, this is one of those crazy moves where you're going to access like an extra 300K or 200K somewhere to upgrade somewhere else. Is this pretty much why you're suggesting it?
I think, like, one, some people might have Wardlaw and they're thinking, well, what do I do? Or they have a Sheldrick and they're stuck. Or they have two trades to make and they want to trade out Green and somebody else and get in two kind of primos. I think Flanders and Lloyd, if that's what you're doing, could work out to be okay. I mean, Flanders is in exceptional form. He's got a 3-round average of 113, but his 4-round average is still around 110. So it's since his returns in round 15, 100, 119, 96, 125, but also eye test wise, it's dominating. It's not even it's exceptional. And his time on ground's not really that high either. He's just around the ball and winning it heaps. So it seems like it can last. I don't really see why it can't. His draw is decent enough. GWS, Brisbane's a bit high. Adelaide, Swans, Carlton, North. It's not bad. Definitely could be worse. With forward status as well, so he can cover between lines. I mean, he's not in the same category as Sarong, but he's pretty good in
correct
as a cheaper price.
For me, it has to be cheaper. At 428K, he's far too expensive to be taking this risk. Like, The first four games of the year, he had an average of 44. Why? Because of the role he was given in the team.
Yeah.
In the last four games, he's at an average of 110. Why? Because of the role he's given in the team. Tuke is back. He's going to be slowly building that base to become, I think they had, was it Stephen King's comments during the week that were like, he's going to be building fitness to be that of a prime AFL midfielder, or you know, something along those lines. We've got 6 weeks left. What is the likelihood of Sam Flanders continuing in this 50% CBA role? I would say that's less than 50%. Oh, sorry. It's greater than 50% chance that he loses part or all of that role.
Yeah, I can agree that he'll probably lose part, but I think it's the players that are getting phased out.
Imagine coming into finals. You're in a prelim final in your cash league and you've got Sam Flanders playing off the half-forward flank again because Tuke's got his knee better and he's back in the midfield. What are we talking about?
Swallow's been pushed out from his 40s in the last 2 weeks, 37. He only had 9% CBA, so he's done. He's out. Yeah. Fiorini got dropped. And then, you know, was a sub, he'd 7%. And then last week he had 18%. And that was from the two weeks prior having 74%, 42%.
Yeah,
so, like,
yeah.
Those big CBA guys are gone. And instead, they've replaced it with Tuke, which we just expected. And then Flanders, who's in and dominating. It's hard to drop someone or reduce his time when he's just playing so incredibly well. Like, until he has a bad game. I think he's set in those 40% CBAs. But you're right. He could definitely have a bad game and then you say, oh, we don't actually want you in the midfield anymore. Let's put you on half forward. Totally possible. But that's why it's at a cheaper price. But he's still not that cheap, as you also mentioned.
So his current role that he's got is first rotation into the CBAs.
Yeah.
He just needs one of those players like David Swallow or et cetera, Fiorini, to go back to having more CBAs, and he's dropped back down below 40%. I don't know. It scares the heck out of me. Scares the heck out of me.
No, it's definitely.
And I think with so limited trades towards the end of the year, whoever you're bringing in is to get to the end of the year. You're not fixing it if you stuff it up.
No, that's
the same reason I probably wouldn't go LDU, who still has the same upside as what we thought we had at the start of the year, but he's got so many other risks associated with it that I think like really, really concerned.
Yeah. I think at this stage, like if you have no cover and you have a full playing 22, you just roll with the 22, and if someone's laid out or injured, you just trade them rather than even bringing him cover.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of what I'd do, because otherwise you're stuck. If someone has a season ending injury and you trade Wardlaw out to a rookie, I don't know, just like a mid-pricer because that's all you can afford. You have to buy a 300K player because that's all the money you have. Then you have a 300K player on your field every week rather than the premium that you could have traded because your premium gotten injured. So I'd be holding my trade for that. Cheese, I'm going to throw a quick question at you because I've seen it pop up a couple of times. People that have Briggs at the moment and a trade are kind of looking at potentially making a little bit of a sideways trade. A lot of them can't afford English if they don't have English. Now they're looking at Big Maxi Gorn coming off at 215. Briggs has slowed down a little bit in his scoring power from what we saw earlier days, and it does coincide with a tougher ruck run. Has Wits this week, which we know is a bad matchup. Gorn going back as a sole ruck. I mean, there's not much we could say about his performance that no one's already said, like, it's 29 touches. It's just the most incredible performance. 215 Supercoach points. I don't think Grundy's coming back anytime soon after the likes of that. Is that a trade that you would consider making?
Yeah, it would have been last week, though. People still have Briggs?
A lot of people have Briggs.
Oh, is it like they're still waiting for him to generate cash?
Well, they've traded out in English, and they now are running Briggs at R2. Or they've traded out the Marshall and the Briggs, running Briggs at R2. If you have a trade, are you looking to upgrade Briggs to Gorn?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Briggs was always just a cash cow. But it sounds like what you're saying, people have taken Briggs as like one of their starting ruckmen to end the year.
Yeah, so they had the plan. I'm going to save some money here. I'm going to trade English to Petrarca at the bye to get through the buys. and, you know, help my round 15 numbers. And now they've done that and they have Briggs, and now they see this opportunity to get Gawn coming off a 215, and they have a trade left over, or two trades, or however many trades, 17 trades left over. And they think, well, is this a upgrade that's going to add, you know, 30 points per game to my starting squad? Like, is this the time to strike and get a unique Gawn solo ruck?
Oh, yeah, like definitely right now. Like, if you're looking to move Briggs on, I think English is obviously my first selection. I don't think Gawn is coming off the back of 215 points. Yes, absolutely. I still think between now and the end of the year that English will still outscore him. That's personally what I think.
Look, you're probably right, but I will read out Gawn's.
I mean, he's 120k cheaper, so like English is not going to outscore him 120k worth of points.
I still want to read it out
head to head. Like,
so he's got Riley O'Brien this week, which is not an easy matchup at all. Then he has Soldo. Then he has Sherry or Goldstein, depending who's playing by then, probably Sherry. Then he has Carlton, who don't really have a ruck. Then he has Hawthorne, where we know what's happening there. And then he's got Swans, who also don't really have a ruck to end the year.
Yeah.
Gawn could go massive. Like, I'd love to say do the trade, Briggs to Gawn, do it, pull the trigger, but injury trades are so valuable at this point in time. I don't think you can, unless you've got like four trades or something. I think you're just holding on to Briggs until an injury occurs, and using it to help your team in that way. And it's just going to be really hard to watch Gawn go ballistic for the rest of the year.
Counter argument.
Yeah.
Briggs was always being upgraded. Like, there's a very minute amount of coaches that thought Briggs, he's going to be a season-long keeper. This four-game player is suddenly going to average 116 for the rest of the year. I should keep him over the likes of anyone else. There are definitely people out there that thought that. But
there's a lot more than you're making it out to be. There's like 20% in the top 1K that thought that.
Why? God.
I mean, literally 20% ownership in the top 1K. So you're talking to a large, you're talking to 20 people right now. 20, you're talking to 200 people right now. That was really good
200
maths.
People.
I feel like that is almost banishable on the podcast. So
look, they're ranked higher than me. What am I talking about?
Maybe not for long.
My team's cool. I personally would be trying to get Briggs to a legitimate premium if I could. I still think he's going to be fine, but I think his primary role in our team was to be upgraded to a long-term solution. I am concerned that Gawn is coming, like, we've got one game's worth of data, and what are they going to do with Grundy? Are they going to permanently just bench him for the remainder of the year? They do surprisingly seem better without him in the team, which is sort of concerning and good for those that have Gawn. I certainly wouldn't want to take any advice from experienced coaches about trading Gawn out of my side for another coach. Look, personally, my opinion, if you've got more than one trade, let's say you've got a couple of trades and decent cover, I'm upgrading Briggs. I just am. Because I think every week you're going to be losing points to coaches surrounding you that have English and Gawn. Briggs versus Marshall is going to be interesting because Marshall has been really, really up and down this year. And if they continue going the way they have been going, they're sort of averaging the same. So, like, if you've got an English and Briggs, it's probably not much different to an English and Marshall. If you've got, like, a Marshall and Briggs, that's pretty concerning to me.
Yeah, there's a couple of teams out there that went that route just for helping the buy, and it is very worrying, that's for sure.
Yeah.
All right, well, I don't have All right. any more questions. I'm not sure if you've got something in your run sheet there, Chizo.
No, just for the few people that own Chera, he's potentially out this week with hamstring awareness.
That's West Coast resting, if I've ever seen one.
Yeah. Look, fingers crossed. And it's, what is it, T-minus 2 weeks, less than 3 weeks, until we get to embrace in person. That's going to be very interesting.
Yes. I mean, that's you made it sound really weird, but yes, we will be.
What's weird about us embracing in person?
No, it's just there was no context behind it, so I was like, well, what's going on here? Are you?
No, just you asked me if I had anything else to speak about. Look, that's something I'm excited to talk Supercoach in person for, let me add, only the second time in our history of being besties. That's top of the run sheet news, and I waited until now.
Tizo, it's a third time. Come on, I thought we were besties. It's very upsetting to me. Anyway.
No, third time we're meeting, second time we're talking Supercoach. Come on, mate.
Yeah, like we have something else in common. Anyway, thanks everybody for listening and making it through. You know, these end of season podcasts sometimes go interesting directions. Not quite sure where they're going to go on any week, but thank you still for tuning in and supporting. We'll keep doing it as long as you guys keep listening. So with that being said, I think the plan is to still put out a Thursday patron-only podcast with any podcast questions. Hopefully there's no carnage, but if there is, at least we'll be able to answer some questions about it, which will be great. Yeah, Cheezo, you can do the rest of the sign-off because I cannot remember what to do.
Well, you can find us on all the Twitters, which you probably have already. And just keep in mind that because of the technical difficulties last week of JB not plugging his microphone in, I'm going to get a lot of like comments on YouTube. We got so many comments on YouTube last week about where was the captaincy video, which is great. But like all the attacking at JB that was going on, he makes me answer all his questions on the YouTube. So I'm the one copying his abuse. So just keep that in mind when the comments come through this week that
give it harder. Usually
me doing JB's work. Right? Yeah, no, take it easy. Direct it at JB and then direct your questions to me because I'll help you out. But other than that, thanks for listening. We'll catch you all in the next episode of the Dr. Supercoach Podcast.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to Amazon.com/sports ad free. That's Amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from L.A. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.